So we come today to the end of our three-part series of homilies here on the three offices of Christ: priest, prophet, and king. So we've talked about priest, prophet last week, and this week on the Feast of Christ the King, of course, we're talking about the office of kingship. And so what we've talked about each week is, first of all, what is the office about? Second of all, how does Christ fulfill that office? And then third, what's our part in that? So as baptized Christians, we're part of the body of Christ. How do we enter into that office that Christ fulfills? And so today we talk about the royal office with those three questions in mind. So first of all, what is the office about? The office of king. We know, of course, that in the beginning of creation, God created everything to be in harmony. But with the fall, everything is cast into disorder, and our fallen human nature tends to focus exclusively on the self. And so everything is somewhat disordered, focusing on the self, and our relations to each other, our relations to God, are kind of ruptured from that fall. And so one of the things that God uses leading up to the time of Christ to bring part of that order back, to bring people towards him, is the authority of kings. And so a king is somebody who's been given authority and power, but specifically for a purpose, and that purpose is to bring order to society so that everybody can work in unison towards some end, towards the common good. And so God establishes the kingship so that the king ideally can be the servant of the people. The king has in mind the good of the people and orders all things so that they work in harmony. Now, does that mean that everybody within a kingdom is aware of exactly how they're contributing to the common good? Not necessarily. They're aware that they're following kind of the path set out for them by the society, by the king, by the laws established in the land. And in that way, kind of order is maintained and harmony is maintained, and hopefully the people are being led towards what is good. But of course, we know that an earthly king is never perfect. An earthly king is limited. And so we come to I was corrected on this by Father King, of course. There's one king, perhaps, who is perfect. But, however, all others, not so. How does Christ fulfill this office? To answer the second question, we can look at our first reading. One of the lines in our first reading, it's a prophecy from Daniel, right? Looking forward towards the time of Christ. And he says, all peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. And so Jesus fulfills the office of king by establishing a kingdom that is both universal and eternal. It's universal because it includes all peoples, nations, and languages, and it's everlasting. Now, this is something completely new, right? Before, in the past, what kings used to unite a nation would have been race, geographical area, language. Even when a king, for example, Alexander the Great, conquered much of the known world, but how did he maintain that unity of his kingdom? By establishing the Greek language and culture throughout those nations that he conquered. And so an earthly king has to resort to those things to bring unity to his people. But Jesus Christ uses something else to bring unity. And if we look to the gospel, we see what that is. He says, "For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." And so Jesus brings the fullness of truth, as we talked about last week. And it's that truth that transcends every division we can create as human beings. It transcends the divisions between races, between geographical areas, nations, between languages. Jesus brings a truth that transcends all of the divisions we can come up with. And so the truth which Christ brings us, and which is passed down through the apostles, is meant to bring all of humanity together for the common good, because Christ is the good king who lays down his life in service for his people. He coordinates the various activities of mankind so that all are working together harmoniously towards a common end. And that common end is our salvation in Christ and our happiness, our union with God in heaven. But I think that's kind of a difficult concept for us to wrap our minds around, perhaps especially as Americans. Why do I say that? Because America is founded on the idea that nobody has the full truth, that each person approaches the world with their own truth and their own self-interest. And kind of like Pontius Pilate, right? If we had read a little further into this gospel, we would have heard his famous question, what is truth, right? I would say that in a sense, that kind of skepticism is there in the very foundation of our country. And so the idea of the American experiment is that a just society has to be founded on compromise and tolerance. Pursuit of happiness then becomes the pursuit of whatever we want, as long as we're not hurting anybody else, and as long as we accept that other people can and should seek happiness in their own way and find their own truth. But the fact is that happiness is union with God, and the truth is Jesus Christ. And that's true for everybody. That's a truth that transcends anything we might come up with. And it's not the case that all religions lead to the same place, or that Christianity is some sort of voluntary association like the Boy Scouts. Jesus Christ is King of the universe, and that means he's all or nothing. Nothing in our life can take priority over Christ. That means no political party, no ideology, no relationship, no material things. That doesn't mean we can't take part in those things, of course, but that all of those need to be ordered towards God, just like all things are ordered towards the common good in a kingdom. Everything needs to be subordinated to the truth of Christ. So do we tolerate other beliefs? Of course we do, if by that we mean that everybody has freedom and is given freedom and that freedom is respected and that we accept that not everybody will agree with us, not everyone will pursue the good of union with God. But if by tolerance we mean that we accept every other belief as being just as good, or that we affirm everything that other people do, even if it contradicts the teaching of Christ, no. We don't accept that kind of tolerance. We accept that people are where they are, but the fact is that we desire their good. And if we desire their good and their happiness, then what we desire for them is union with God, is what Christ comes to bring. And so this brings us into, of course, our third question of what is our part in this kingly office of Christ, in this royal office? First, it means governing and bringing order to our own lives. And that means intentionally directing everything inside of us, which is all of our thoughts, all of our desires, all of our activities, directing all of these things towards God, working on them one by one if we have to make sure they're all directed towards God in some way. Does that mean that we need to be aware consciously all the time of how everything we're doing in our lives is directed towards God? No. But it does mean that we certainly have to remove the things which are blocking us from union with God, those practices in our lives, those thoughts, those desires that lead us away from God. We need to remove those. And it also means following his commandments, even if we don't fully understand them. And so that's the first aspect of kingship in Christ. It's self-mastery, to use our freedom for what it was intended, to rule over ourselves and our actions, our thoughts, our desires, so that our life is intentionally directed towards love, towards God. I would say the most natural and in many ways the most powerful form of authority and responsibility we have outside of ourselves is that of being a parent. And so this kind of forms a good example of this second aspect of how we act as kings, how we share in that office of king. Anywhere where we have some degree of authority, we're responsible for directing others as well towards the truth, which is Jesus Christ. So let's take, for example, a parent. As a parent, you organize the home life of your children. You decide what they're allowed to do or not. You establish what their priorities are and what your expectations are. You encourage certain forms of entertainment. You develop your family traditions, and so on. And it's your responsibility to see to it that all of those things that you do, all of those things that you order in the home, work together in such a way that the whole family is led towards God and towards the way of love which He proclaims. It's your responsibility to make sure that the daily life of your family is predicated on Christ being king. And we can apply that same principle, of course, to any place where we have authority or responsibility. And that depends naturally on what degree we have that or what that responsibility looks like, right? In a friendship, it's going to look very different. As a teacher, as an advisor, something like that, it'll look different. But in each place where we have influence, where we have authority, that needs to be exerted towards the good. And the fact is that there's no such thing as a generic goodness which excludes God. We can't just relegate God to the private sphere and have a public life without God, a private life with God. That's contradictory to the teaching of Christ. And so we need to think about these things. We need to think about what the goal of our lives really is. We need to think about what it is we want for the people we love, and how it is that by our actions we're directing them. Where are we directing them? If it's not God, why isn't it? Perhaps it's because we're afraid that God might be a tyrant, or because we think that His will is arbitrary. But that's not true. We will never completely understand how God works in the world, of course. But ultimately, He is in charge. He is king. And He knows how everything is supposed to come together for the good of all. What He asks us to do is to accept that kingship, to make Him first in our lives, and to lead others with this same priority.